Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io. And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here with Matt Watson. Hi, Matt.
What's going on, man? You want to buy a box of Stash?
Probably, but I don't know if we're talking about the same thing.
I got it from Snoop Dogg, and I'll sell you a box of Stash.
Okay.
Well, it comes with a lot of cool benefits.
It's an interesting way to start the show. I'm assuming since this is another installment in our series about the NFT industry that you're referring to the many, many Snoop Dogg and Death Row NFTs that I've seen that have been issued.
I've been smoking some Stash over here.
Okay.
Snoop Dogg Stash.
I'm so tempted right now to veer off course and ask you so much about that, but I'll what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to let you know that today's episode of Startup Hustle is sponsored by Canva, where I might actually go and make an image of what I believe your Stash actually looks like. But that's also where people go to collaborate and create amazing graphic designs for free. So whether it's a presentation to share an idea, a video to launch your business, or a social post to start a conversation, with Canva, you can design anything. Discover the magic of visual communication and how Canva helps you create a lasting impact today. Go to canva.com to learn more. There's a link in the show notes for that, Matt. There's also a link to go back and start catching the episodes of this series. So we're back in it. Hopefully we deliver this series on time, unlike our 52-part series about how to start a tech company that came out 2 months late.
That was a fun series. This is fun, too, though. I like it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Stash. I don't know.
We've been learning a lot. Yeah, we've been learning a lot. So I think the important thing is to always check out your Stash before you listen to your music NFTs. But I'm excited for today's show because, you know, I have a passion and a love for music. I have a history in and around the industry, including my co-authoring of the book, The Realist Guide to a Successful Music Career, with my dear friend Joel Cummins. Which, Matt, did you see all of the amazing musicians that were in that? We had a member of Dave Matthews Band write the foreword. We had Taylor Hicks, former American Idol winner, and classic rockers like Huey Lewis. I mean, it just went on and on. That was a lot of fun.
There was some big names in there. It was very cool. Yeah.
It's always fun when you get to hang out with your heroes.
You get to hang out with rock stars.
I'm a rock star.
Yeah.
So in my own mind, I've been legendary for years. So, you know, we're talking about NFTs, non-fungible tokens, and the applications that so many people are finding with them. And just, you know, as I mentioned, this is part of a broader series. With the first series is titled WTF as an NFT. And the second one's about NFT art. Now, you know, in the art episode, we dabbled a little bit with music and talked some about it, but this is specifically about music. And you know, much like you mentioned, we're seeing a lot of, NFTs. Okay. So first off, they're flooding the market right now. There's like an NFT from like literally as we were starting recording, my phone sent me a notification from Adidas, who's issuing another NFT. The day after the Super Bowl, Snoop Dogg sold $44 million.
That was the stash boxes. Yep. That's what I was referring to. Dude, those are
And that's dollars, not doll hairs.
Like, $5,000 a box.
You know, so what is that? Right. So Matt, what's in your stash?
Well, so I was looking it up today in preparation for our episode today about this. And I was trying to figure out, I'm like, what happened to the Snoop Dogg thing that happened after the Super Bowl and whatever? And what the hell was it? And honestly, it was really hard to even find what the hell it was. And finally, I found on OpenSea, which is one of the largest marketplaces for NFTs. Most people have heard of OpenSea, OpenSea.io, which is like a $1 billion unicorn company now. There are some stash boxes on there. And it says if you open the box, you randomly get one of the tracks that are on this new album, along with some other potential goodies. And in the future, you may get all these wonderful things, and we're going to promise you'll get all these cool things in the future, maybe in experiences and whatever, right? It's all hype, right? And so there are a few of them on there, and then evidently, I guess somehow you open the box and you figure out what song you got. And then those songs were also for sale on. So the boxes were listed for still about $5,000 to $6,000 on OpenSea. It seems like the price of them is kind of trending down, but then the songs were selling for like $1,000 to $2,000. So I guess whatever else you get in the box is probably worth nothing. And so you open the box for $5,000, you get a song that's worth $2,000. But it's all hype and total bullshit, I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to disagree with that in full. And now, I did similar research, and this is what I found. And we're going to use Snoop. So, Snoop, if you're listening, come on the show and tell us about your cash grab.
We want to hear about how you did this big cash grab. Right.
And by the way, congratulations. Because guess what? If you can do it, go for it.
Yeah.
Now, you know, so one of the things that before I talk about what I found with Snoop and the Death Row releases specifically, and you're right about what you're talking about with the stash box, and they Snoop's like killing it. He's like leading the charge for music NFTs. So, you know, a few things that I want to set a little foundation for. So, you know, as I mentioned, history in the music industry. Now, I worked on the musical instrument side. So at one point, I worked for the world's largest maker of electronic musical instruments, Roland, and went on to have my first real business for the following 8 years. I was in a ticket broker. So I worked with live events and worked with teams, venues, sometimes artists to help them sell stuff. And sometimes you just bought tickets and sold them anyway. So been around it for a while, but over the last 20 years, for all of you listening, if you're old enough to remember 20 years ago, music went from, okay, so you had vinyl, actual records. Now that was way more than 20 years ago. And the problem with the vinyl record was it was big. And it was just, you had to go to a store and buy it. Then later cassettes come, and they were 8 tracks, and then cassettes. Those were easier. You could put them in your pocket. You could have a whole bunch of them. You could play them in your car. Now with that, after that comes the compact discs. Now when the compact disc came out, it was a huge windfall for musicians and mainly for labels because it costs like a nickel to make a CD, and they were getting 10, 15 bucks for them. Now, when that was going on, artists weren't touring as much because touring wasn't as profitable. Because, you know, now if you wanted to go, okay, so Snoop Dogg and Ice Cube are coming to Kansas City this summer, and it's probably like $200 a ticket for a VIP ticket. Now, 20 years ago, that was when if you go back and look at all ticket stuff, they'd be like $19, $29, $39, and they didn't get the kind of money they got because they were making money off recording and stuff like that. So then everything gets disrupted with Napster.
Yeah,
because people start file sharing and it forced music to change. And then it evolves into basically the streaming services that you're going to see now. There was a brief interlude where you'd buy you know how many times I spent 99 cents on one song on iTunes? Because it was a lot. Right. So with that, as the revenue from recording began to drop, musicians turned back to the road and started making huge money from touring. Now, over the last couple of years, that hasn't even been possible. So, you know, the topsy-turvy world of revenue for music creators has gone up and down. And now, right now, they're in a pretty, they're in a new flower is blossoming that might resemble a little bit of a tulip and tulip mania in some regards, meaning like it's getting a little, it might be a little overhyped or whatever. So now back to music NFTs, you're seeing a whole wide variety of different stuff come out. So Matt mentioned kind of like the blind box, like buy it, you have some rights to some stuff, things like that. There's a level of exclusivity. Other things that were Snoop Dogg related. So Snoop also released the doggies.
Yeah,
for and sandbox. These are little NFT sandbox characters that
they're like a skin
will be like avatars in the metaverse. Now those
are trading for like $600.
Yeah, and there's
$10,600.
Yeah, that's a lot of money, right? You also have other individual. So they did also release a bunch of individual tracks. So what they'll do is they'll put one. So when we were talking about art NFTs, most of the time it would be like a one of one. If you go to @DeCourcy mm-hmm. Matt at Twitter, you can see the apes that we bought as examples. And you get one of one. Now, with a lot of the music stuff, what it comes out is they'll put it out and you might be one of 250 people that own it. It's not always a one of one kind of thing. So they're issuing them in different quantities and minting them the same way that they do image-based stuff. And then I just didn't have time to get it done. I was actually going to buy a different Death Row Snoop Dogg release, where you would have a song and you actually owned the rights to the song with it, right?
I think now, the goal with some of it will be a revenue sharing model, right? Where it's like as a fan, you can help support the musician. Now, supporting Snoop Dogg is probably a bad example, but supporting like, you know, a small up and coming band of like they get 1,000 fans to put in $500 or whatever, and that gives them enough money to go on tour or pay for the recording cost or whatever. And then if they make it big, then, you know, you get some of the streaming revenue or whatever.
Well, so with that, what I was going to do is I was going to purchase I can't just use a Snoop Dogg song during this show or the intro in it or anywhere else. I could, but I'd be subjecting myself to potential legal action from them because I don't own the rights to the music. So like the song that's playing and the Startup Hustle intro where you hear my voice talking over it, I purchased that from a non-royalty source, meaning like I had to pay a little bit of money for it. I think I paid like $30 for it, but then I didn't have to pay royalties on it. Now, so here's the thing, because I have the rights, or that's the way it's set up. So in that last example, you could get like, you'd have like one of 100, but you would own the track. So you could edit it. And it like says that right there in the definitions, like you own the rights to the music, feel free to mix it, use it, do whatever you want with it. And now that would have been like anywhere from like, so here's the funny thing. It would have been like $30 to $50 to buy the NFT. And then the reason I didn't buy it, because at the time the network was a little jammed up for Ethereum and it wanted $75 worth of fees
to
transfer
too.
It. And that's why I didn't complete the transaction, which is a major flaw in this. So that's a problem, because not all these music acts are going to be able to get $5,000 per NFT. They're going to like maybe get like 20 or 50 or something like that. So, and then one other example. So I used this in the art one. So a good friend of mine, Jake Sinninger, who's also the guitarist in Umphrey's McGee, did a live show about a year ago, like online, kind of like a Zoom kind of thing. And they recorded it. Well, he improvised an entire song that was like 25 minutes long. And then they sold the NFT afterward. So the person that bought that did have a one of one kind of thing. And technically they bought the song. So there's a lot of things. And then, you know what, actually one more example. So there is a site that popped up, golive.ly. Now this is, I know people that started this and I know some of their investors. This is a platform that musicians are using to teach lessons and do private performances for people and stuff like that. And they just launched an NFT component. So they just partnered with an NFT creator of sorts to help people in the Go Lively platform. So for example, if you, so you could hire Jake, he'll do a private concert for you and it's like $1,500. So if you want the NFT that goes with that as well afterward, you could also buy it. So a lot of really cool stuff coming out. And I like anything that puts money in the musicians' hands and the creators, but it's going to be real interesting to see how this comes out. Cause much like your Twitter profile, Matt, I'm pretty sure that you don't own that Bored Ape.
Nope, I don't.
I right click, and drop save it, as. And you're like, yeah.
Right click, so, save as, go to Twitter, upload.
So that's the interesting thing is to see how any of this is going to be tracked or known. Now, with that, do you know who Scooter Braun is?
No, that DJ.
He's a producer, but he's the guy that bought Taylor Swift's song catalog and flipped it and made like $150 million in like a week.
And then she re-recorded it all, right?
Yeah. Okay. And you know what? And thanks for bringing that up because it's a really good point. Because Taylor Swift is like, I don't like that. So how does Scooter Braun buy Taylor Swift's music? Well, it's because she originally sold a contract to Arista or Universal or someone, and they own the rights to the songs. Mm-hmm. So most of the musicians that you listen to have already sold that stuff or don't own. It's like a tenth of a cent per play on Spotify. So yeah,
it's $3,000 per million streams is what I got from Google.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Yeah. And dude, that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot. So here's an interesting stat. So only 1% of artists received 90% of all streams.
Yeah.
So you look at the 1%, and this is, we've used this as the long tail example.
Mm-hmm.
So there is like a lot of artists that get like these tiny amount of streams, but there's so many of them that those all add up to be more than the top 1% in the end. But well, they could. And with that, only about the top 0.8 of a percent of seemingly famous and top artists earn an average of $50,000 per year from streaming.
That's not very much at all, man.
Less than 1%.
Not much
of
at all.
All artists, $50,000 a year. Now, let's give some context to our friend and co-star of Startup Hustle TV, Eric Perkins, the famous home builder. Eric might make that much every month off making YouTube videos right now.
Yeah, which is amazing.
Yeah, well, right?
And I imagine a lot of musicians probably make more money from streaming music videos on YouTube than they do streaming on Spotify.
It's just got to be, it's like collective. It's like be all everywhere. Together. It's like, there's not like a silver bullet that's solving it. And the problem has been is that the real money right now is coming from live music.
Touring. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, it seems like they don't make a lot of money from streaming and they make all their money on their tours. And if they can make more money off NFTs, I think, you know, all the power to them. And you hear these stories of DJs and stuff. They're like, oh, I never made much money and I created some kind of NFT series and I made like way more money than I've ever made in my career.
Right.
And I think everybody's still trying to figure it out. Right. But to me, I feel like at least what Snoop Dogg was, I didn't listen to the album. Maybe it's really good, but let's just assume it's really terrible.
You didn't buy
like,
one?
I threw together 18 songs and I did some hype around this shit and I got everybody to pay me $5,000 and ha ha, I'm running to the bank. That's what it sounded like to me, man. I'm just going to be honest.
$44
million. $44
million. So do you know that the artists have to pay to perform at the Super Bowl?
Really?
Yeah. And they are not the ones that usually pay. It's usually a label. So if you notice, if you go back in the history of the Super Bowl, the day after the Super Bowl, I was expecting a tour to be announced with Snoop, Eminem, but they didn't. So instead they made $44 million off of selling .mp4s.
Yep. It's crazy, man. But, I wonder, like, somebody like Humphreys McGee, you know, have you talked to them about their strategy with NFTs? Do they, you know, they have unique shows basically every night. Like, could they make an NFT of every one of their shows?
You got a good point.
But why would I buy it?
So let's talk about that for a second, because I was always impressed. So they've been together for 24 years, and I first saw them, like, a very long time ago. And when you went to the show, you could actually, at the end of it, go over to a little booth and you could, they had these towers that were burning CDs of the show that you were just at. So for $10, you could leave with it and they'd sell a couple hundred of them a night. Right. So with that, that kind of evolved into now they have a streaming kind of thing. So they've recorded almost every show they've had for 24 years, which is distributed primarily through subscription-based platforms. There's one called Nugs.net. So they have perpetual gate revenue from all those shows, which 20 years ago, it was tedious to record things digitally live. Now it's like super easy, but you know, now you just plug something in the back of the soundboard and go. But you know, I haven't talked to them about that. I know that, there's a land grab going on for NFT stuff right now. So, I mean, if they aren't doing it, they probably should. I'm not sure how that would translate though. You know, like, cause here's the thing is you're also competing against yourself. Like, why would I want to buy that when I can go listen to it on the platform I'm already subscribing on?
Yeah. I mean, I use Spotify and stuff, right, myself. So it's, I don't know. It's weird. The thing that makes the most sense to me is like the Taylor Swift example where like, oh, I sold my collection of all my music to whoever, right, for $150 million. If instead I could have basically sold it to my fans. And now it's like a publicly traded thing almost, right? Like if you want to own part of her music and if there's a way, you know, you should be able to receive part of the proceeds and streaming revenue and everything that comes with it, that would be kind of cool. And I guess, you know, based on how much streaming revenue there was on a monthly basis, there would be some tangible value to it, right? Which would kind of make sense.
So I think what you're going to see more of is, you know, artists make, musicians make a lot of money off of VIP type stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, like, so with that, you see all these NFTs coming out and I think that these are, a lot of them are going to translate into things like access. Like, you know, it's like, early, like, well, ticket pre-sales, unlocking paywalls to see content that isn't on YouTube and places like that. And it's like, you know, you're buying, it's like a, you know, a digital on backstage pass.
Everybody always wants something new and cool to talk about, right? And NFTs right now are just like that new and cool thing. And nobody really knows how useful they will be or not be. And nobody knows, right? It's just a lot of speculation and playing around with things. And then some people are throwing money into all of it too, because they think, well, what if it does become something big? Then I want to throw a few dollars into it just in case it does, right? So you just got people throwing money at all this crazy stuff.
Speaking about throwing money at stuff, Canva threw some money at us to remind you that today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Canva. With Canva, you can design your ideas with ease. You can get inspired. They have over 500,000 free templates and rich content library that helps you and your team achieve your goals. Sign up and start designing for free at canva.com. There's a link at the show notes. Matt, did you know that I created a presentation for Canva to sponsor this series? They've got the whole NFT series, but I used Canva to create the proposal for Canva. I think that had something to do with why they were agreeable.
You're still the best graphic artist I know because of Canva.
I am a little worried because, you know, I bought apes. And most useful thing I found out of an NFT it's funny because they look like bored apes, but they are grandpa apes. They're kind of ripoff apes. Now I used them for our image based ads to promote the series. So I'm hoping that I don't get animal cruelty thrown in my face. Don't cancel me, people. I'm just trying to get your attention. Apes need love too, man.
They do. So do you think if I buy one of these Snoop Dogg stash boxes, I'm actually going to get anything out of it? Or later I'll get like free backstage passes or something?
No.
You think I'm going to get... I didn't even get stash. You don't even get stash. Like there's no stash in this stash box.
I mean, you're asking me and like, you know, I want to put a disclaimer. Like we're not giving you advice as to whether or not you should buy, speculate, or invest in any of this stuff. We're not experts in the space. We're just sharing the stories about what we learned. Yeah. Well, that's where I'm going with this. So look, I bought a bunch of NFTs, like learning the process, and I just dumped them. I'm like, and almost all of them went for a loss. So
you sold
my experience.
Did you sell your rubber duck?
No, I kept the duck, and I have some grandpa apes because I just like the apes.
Yeah, you do have some cool grandpa apes.
Yeah, and the apes are now being put to work with ads. And so here's the question, because, you know, so I bought Andrew an ape. I found an ape that I thought resembled Andrew, so I bought him one as a gift. And my question is for you is, if I buy you a doggy, are you going to be able to show me what the hell these are used for? Because when they say, like, use this in the metaverse,
in
like,
sandbox.
What does that mean? Like, I don't even get it. Explain
well,
it to
so
me.
Well, so sandbox is just kind of like any other 3D game, like, you know, Minecraft or Roblox or any kind of just video game, right? You know, you have an avatar, you're a person, and you just run around and do stuff in the game. Although in sandbox, when I played with it, there wasn't shit to do and there was nobody in there. But sandbox is the sandbox and Decentraland are two of the biggest, like, multiverse, you know, online metaverse crap. And in sandbox, there's Snoop Dogg skins that you can make yourself look like Snoop Dogg. And there's like a whole bunch of different ones, different costumes. If anything, it's just like, you know, for people who've played Fortnite or something, right? It's like people will pay like $20 so that you can have a Patrick Mahomes jersey when you play Fortnite and run around and shoot people.
Okay.
Right? I mean, it's the same kind of thing. You just have like a skin. But those,
so that's more palatable for me, because that's something like,
not if you for look $600.
I agree. $600 is a little high. Like I'm literally looking. They're called the doggies.
Yeah.
So I know this. I mean, we're talking about music, so this is how a musician is using it. I know it's a little veered off the path. So I'm like looking at what it looks like, a pixelated version
of Snoop Dogg.
I wouldn't even look at this and go, "Oh, that's Snoop Dogg." It looks like a black dude wearing shorts and a and a light blue.
And it's very pixelated. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's why it doesn't really look like Snoop Dogg. It's because it's very pixelated.
I mean,
so,
I gotta be honest,
just looks like a guy.
All of these don't look like, well, like two of them do.
The ones with Blunt and other stuff?
No.
No.
Yeah. You saw, okay. So you talk about access. I got airdropped from one of my apes. From the ape chain, apparently. I got airdropped. I have an invitation to like the cannabis cup or something like that.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Now, but with that is what we're beginning to see. So a lot of these things. So a very well-known fashion brand from Japan, Bape, which is like a competitor of Supreme. They just dropped an NFT, and before they revealed what they were, they're having a big event in Vegas.
It's all
hype,
baby.
You got to get in. So like now but check this out though. Those are like 1.2 ETH. So you're paying $4,000 or $5,000 for access to that. So and remember I mentioned it very early. I had an angry pit bull as well.
Yeah.
So they did a party in LA. Now here's the thing. Matt and I are in Kansas. That doesn't do a whole lot of good for me.
So you know, one thing I definitely see as a great use case for NFTs is actually like music tickets. And like you talked about before, like music experience stuff. I mean, think about if I'm whatever musician and I sell my tickets for $200, but then what if the market, everybody wants to go see Justin Bieber or Elton John, whoever it is. And like people are willing to pay $1,000 for the tickets. The musicians aren't getting that, right? The ticket brokers and, you know, StubHub and all these sites are taking their share of those profits. So if there was a way for the musicians to be able to get more of that value as those tickets are resold later, I could see that as a big benefit. And then if the musicians could give away, you know, free NFTs, you know, and almost like a little badge of like, I was there, Kansas City, April 3rd.
Well, that's what I wanted to bring up. So, you know, you and I both worked in tickets. So when that first started originally, it was just hard tickets, meaning like actual ticket stubs. And the whole industry is away from that. Like you'd be lucky to even find a hard ticket because it's all electronic and it was PDFs. Now here's the thing is, so at the ticket company where we did, you know, $30 million in the last 4 years that we owned that. I mean, so people would call, email, and all the time, like, can I get the actual ticket stubs? Cause I keep these. They're like, I have a cigar box of ticket stubs. And like, there was just something about printing the shitty Ticketmaster PDF that didn't do it.
Not the same.
Well, and then I'm going to an event later at the Full Scale Suite, and you want to learn more about what we do at Full Scale, go to fullscale.io. But we host entrepreneurs, investors, and influencers for events. We're going to see Jim Gaffigan tonight, and there's no PDF or anything. I got to use the AXS.com app to send to transfer those. So there's no collectible there. There's nothing that goes with that. So I could see that being something. And then I think one of the things that you're going to see is, all right, so let's just say Jim Gaffigan, because that was our example. I could see his NFT potentially having something from that show and maybe him going like, hey, Kansas City, it was great seeing you. You know, just some shit like that.
And that kind of shows up in your digital wallet of like collectibles, right? Of like,
and it's a collectible and
They're almost like trinkets or badges of like, these are the things I did in my life. And I have a little collection of these like events I went to or whatever. Yeah. People that like to collect stuff. Like you said earlier, people like to collect the ticket stubs or it's but those
is there a value that goes with that? Now, one of the things that I think almost certainly is going to happen is music NFTs. And then also for like creators or famous people or whatever, I think these are things are going to be in a digital wallet that's attached to your browser. And it's going to end up unlocking paywalls if you want, or getting you behind where people without the NFT can go in to see content, songs, anything. I don't know. I mean, that's the thing that makes the most sense to me. And then also the collectible side of the ticket stuff.
See, and the other side of this from a technology perspective, we go back to the technology itself. Most all the things that we're talking about, you could do, and you don't need NFTs or blockchains to do, right?
Like I could record after we're done recording this, I could click a button to process it, which post-produces it, which, by the way, 20 years ago would have required an actual person to master a track. Now I just click a button and it fixes most of the problems. And I could take that file, I could go to OpenSea.io and I could upload this episode and sell it as a one-of-one NFT. Now, I mean,
maybe that's what we should be doing.
I've actually had suggestions that we do that with the show for our guests.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to have you as a guest on the show and then try to sell you the NFT that goes with it for $50. That's a little short-sighted in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, part of my point is that, you know, you talk about buying the rights to Taylor Swift or some of these kinds of things, right? You don't need to do that with NFTs. It could be done with some other marketplace and database. Just like in Fortnite, I can buy skins. Like,
not the most efficient distribution path.
Yeah, Snoop Dogg doesn't have to sell them on OpenSea for Sandbox for $600. Like, Fortnite does it just fine without a blockchain, right? Like, for me, there are so many things that are blockchain related. It feels like people are just trying to use the blockchain for all these things that don't necessarily need a blockchain to be used. Which always kind of annoys me, but it's all the hype. To me, it's all about hype right now. And NFTs have been all the rage for the last 12, 18 months.
You and I recently went and saw Journey and Toto.
Yes.
Okay, how many people in that sold out arena would be able to figure out? How many of them know what the fuck an NFT is?
None.
Right.
None. They're a couple of generations too old.
Right. I mean, and that was why we found so much entertainment in this Coinbase Super Bowl ad. And I loved that because that basically said, if you don't know what this QR code is, we're good with that.
And honestly, I jumped out of my chair and scanned it because I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
I had
a hard time scanning it, actually. I had to get really close to the TV, and I actually was not impressed with that part.
Sorry.
The thing that was most impressive was that the square actually went all the way into the upper right corner cleanly. For the first time in the history of that old screensaver pattern.
My God.
Yeah,
They must have did that on purpose, too.
They did. Do you remember that episode of The Office?
I don't know if I saw that episode.
So in the office, they had a thing that was bouncing around like that. Yeah. And it would always get close. And then finally, they were like, people that followed The Office and watched that for years eventually finally had some satisfaction.
Perfectly hit the corner.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. We've talked about some of the different things that come up. And, you know, like when it comes to musicians, like the benefit from that, well, obviously they can create more They can put some collectible stuff out there. I think that'll go well for musicians overall. I think one of the short sides of that is like the fact that like, okay, if it costs as much for your Ethereum transfer fees as it does for the NFT, like, I mean, wow, that's like, now I think that there's solutions coming out for that. We talked about some of the Ethereum killers. Yeah. That like Polygon, Tezos, and, you know, some of these other things that are really built to have, so those are referred to as gas fees. And I mean, why are they so high on the images? And because if I transfer Ethereum to my digital wallet, it'll be like $2 for like 10 grand.
I don't know, man. Everything about Ethereum is crazy, and that's why I don't use it. Because yeah, like Polygon would be like 1 cent.
But why is that so much more than a digital wallet transfer? Is it the size of the file? Is it the nature of the file? Is it?
So technically there are like smart contracts, and maybe there's some code that gets called in the smart contract. Cause it's basically like, think about like every line of code that gets called takes more resources, takes more CPU. Yeah. And so therefore it requires more gas in Ethereum.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Cause if it's an image or music, it's an actual has some file size as opposed to just a serial number.
Yeah, it could be something to do with storage size.
I bet it does.
I don't know.
Because the way blockchain works is you're going to, you know, most of these things want like 35 network confirmations, meaning they want 35 different places in the chain to get it. So if they all have to, I don't know. It's above my pay grade. That's why we have you, Matt.
Yeah.
Supposed to explain that stuff to
us. Why I don't use Ethereum.
Okay. So if you're a musician and you're interested in doing some of this stuff, we did make a short list of what some of the best marketplaces are. And these are still good places if you're a buyer. So we've mentioned OpenSea a couple times. OpenSea is kind of leading the charge on a lot of this right now. They're just kind of, they're the leader right now, in my opinion. Am I wrong about that?
No, they're definitely the biggest marketplace. Yeah. Snoop Dogg is on there.
Yeah. But, and so are you.
You want to buy some stash? OpenSea.io.
Yeah. Ask me after we hit record about that. Okay. You know, because yeah, I might come over. Is that why my ape's eyes are so red?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So wait, you were hanging out with my ape?
No, you bought him on OpenSea, and because of Snoop Dogg, everything's just getting kind of
stash,
messed up.
That's yeah. Right. The secondhand smoke kind of thing.
Yep.
All right. So also you've got Air NFTs, Nifty Gateway, and Rarible. So I see Rarible a lot. You know, you're starting to see things that are coming in bundles, you know, like originally you might've signed in with Google, and then you see Google, LinkedIn, like all these other things. Like, so there's definitely a lot of stuff that's trailing in the path. And I think a lot of these marketplaces are really focusing on, so I mentioned the Tezos coin, that's not even available on OpenSea, but a lot of these other networks I think are going to probably close the gap on, because dude, I tell you what, the least palatable thing about any of this has been those gas fees.
Oh yeah. Right. It's insane, man. Absolutely insane.
I mean, so when I buy your doggy, I might buy you just a regular dog.
Like a real inline.
I'm going to buy you a Shiba Inu. I'm going to name it Satoshi, and I'm going to just drop it off at your house.
My kids would be excited.
I know. And that, well, that way I still would have given you a doggy the same way the other night that I sent you a duck pic.
Yeah, you did. You sent me a
That's the second dog. Most useful thing I've gotten out of NFTs is I've been sending people pictures of my duck.
Yeah.
Which by the way is pretty funny because Yeah. So, well, you know, as we get ready to round out this series, you know, once again, in the first installment, we just talked WTF as an NFT. We moved into NFT art. We've been talking about NFTs in the music industry, and we are going to, I think the next episode's going to be fun too. And this is one that you know a lot more about. We're going to talk about play to earn.
Yes. The gaming side of it.
All right. So as a quick reminder, today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Canva, where you can go to collaborate, create amazing graphic designs for free, whether it's a presentation to share an idea, a video to launch your business, or a social post to start a conversation. With Canva, you can design anything, discover the magic of visual communication and how Canva helps you create a lasting impact today. Go to canva.com to learn more. There's a link in the show notes, and we're putting a lot more links than we normally do in the show notes for this series, so you can get to the other episodes quick. Also, so you can get to some example things. If you want to see the apes I'm talking about, I've been posting them on the Startup Hustle Instagram. Join us in Startup Hustle chat. And by the way, I use Canva to take my ape NFTs and turn them into ads that I'm also running on Facebook and Instagram. So yeah. All right. So Matt, out of all this, like, I mean, what do you like? Like, what do you think has legs?
I never thought of the ticket stub idea you mentioned earlier. And I think that's actually kind of a clever idea. If there was some way, if you're at the show, you know, you could scan a QR code or something like that. And then, you know, on your phone, that would let you somehow like get the NFT of like, oh, I was there to see Ed Sheeran at, you know, Madison Square Gardens on April 3rd or whatever, and have that as like a collectible and be able to look back and see all the concerts you went to. You would have a shitload of them in Kansas City from all the shows you go to for sure. But I, you know, other than that, I really like the idea of like maybe the funding side of it, being able to help musicians fund, you know, a new album or whatever it is, trying to help them make more money than the $3,000 per million streams on Spotify doesn't seem like a lot of money, especially if you're a small artist and you've got a few thousand fans. Like, you're not going to get millions of streams. So, you know, it's interesting to me. I think a lot of like what Snoop Dogg did is sort of just a cash grab. They're just, I feel like, preying on the dumb people willing to throw money at things at this point.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that I disagree with that part. I think that, well, first off, musicians and the music industry in general are creators. And I think that they're going to find creative ways to get this stuff out there. I think in the end, the stuff that's going to end up being the most popular and the most utilitarian, both for buyers and sellers, is going to be that, like, it's like the digital passport of sorts, you know, meaning like get you to exclusive content. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants exclusive access. Matt, you see over my shoulder here, do you see the guitar that's leaning up against the wall? That thing is covered in VIP and backstage passes from Humphreys McGee, Dave Matthews, other band, like, you know, it's literally almost, now here's the thing. I would never get rid of that guitar case. Like, that guitar case is very personally valuable for me because every one of those things. So a normal backstage pass, people also think like, oh, it's a laminate. No, it's usually a sticker because they change it every night. So you can't use the same one the next night. Now, with that, those are collectible things and they're also easy to lose, stuff like that. I personally like sticking them to my case like that. But I think that's probably the future of it. I do think that there's probably something to be said about recording stuff, you know, like, I don't know. I think early access, you know, just all of that. I really do think this is a good thing for musicians, for touring artists, and for the industry in general, especially in the wake, well, or lack of wake of 2 years of not being able to hit the road. Like, the people I know in the music industry are not, they are raring to go when it comes to getting out on the road again. And that's still a tough process too. By the way, did you see Eric Church canceled his show on Saturday because he wants to go to the North Carolina Duke Final Four game?
I did see that. Yeah, I did see
that. You know what? I respect that. Support your team. It's too bad that the winner of that game is just going to end up losing to Kansas.
Let's hope.
2 days later. I know. But this is going to come out after that. So I'm going to either look like a fortune teller or not. And speaking of which, Matt, I'm going to go unbox that guitar now. And I'm going to record a one of one.
I'm going to go open some stash.
I'm going to upload it to OpenSea. Yeah. Change of plan. I'm going to come over and help you unload the stash box.
Bring then your guitar. I'm coming.
Well, actually, no, I don't. I might have to Uber over there for safety purposes. I don't want to give anyone the wrong idea, man. All right. See you next week.
Yeah.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.